I think most engineering students get a great deal of mathematics as well.
Yeah, they do, but they don't know anything about data structures.
Well, I don't know. I never was a computer science student, and yet I seem to know a little bit about data structures. I don't know. I must just get lucky. Okay, so somebody posted insider information and so forth. So this is an exercise that if you were in a lab, you would have to go do this exercise step by step. How long does it last? When people attack computer systems, which is only a subset of the stuff that we're interested in here, but most of the crime these days involves the same old crimes that are just being done over the internet instead of, upfront and personal. So rip off old people, it's easier to rip off old people over the internet, except, because they believe you. You can send email out to millions and tens of millions and hundreds of millions. In fact, you can display pornographic images of children if you're in the Netherlands. And the fact that you're displaying it to somebody in the United States is irrelevant because the U.S. police can't do a darn thing about it. Okay, and you can send the solicitation to everybody in the United States and they can go look at your website, and that's just how it works. And tracking it down and policing it becomes very difficult. So how long does it last? Taking down about 100 computers in a LAN, a local area network, using the LAN attack as an example, it takes about 30 seconds. If you're real good at it, you're clever, you might be able to do it in 30 seconds. It's not going to happen instantaneously. People talk about computers and they keep saying things run at the speed of light. They don't. Computers do not operate at the speed of light. Some of the components in computers do move information around at a high rate, but even that's not at the speed of light. Furthermore, it has to bang around a lot before it gets anything done. It gets slowed down by all the resistors and transistors and storage and clocks and so forth. So you would think that the speed of light means I can get to all the computers in a LAN in a very short period of time, certainly microseconds, but it just doesn't happen that fast. Using crack, for example, to guess fairly easy passwords is typically 5 to 10 minutes. Actually, it picks up quite a few in the first second or two. Then it picks up a bunch in the next 5 to 10 minutes, then it might catch some the next day or two, and then we're talking weeks. Researching a target over the web takes hours to days. So if you want to do the intelligence necessary to really get the guy that you're going after, from an attacker standpoint, that takes a significant period of time. So there might be lots of evidence along the way. In fact, in some cases, there might be time to catch people before they're done. Program some new attack for a serious attack of some sort is typically days. It might be down to hours. An example was recently posted of a magazine that said, we're daring hackers to break in or something to this site. And I guess somebody got it in what was it, 20 hours or something? And it was a rather hard-working sort of a fellow, tried a variety of things that didn't work, eventually found that there was some program that was running in there in a non-obvious way and tried to exploit it and found that it was a little bit exploitable, but it had some safety measures. So I had to get around those and those and those and found a series of vulnerabilities and had to code something to fit into a small amount of memory and get transmitted in a packet of such and such a size and fit into a command line and so forth. But he did it. About 20 hours, he won. But it does take time. It wasn't instantaneous. And of course, it was they could have done a lot better job in making a secure web server. Spreading a virus from a source to a target typically takes weeks. Certain targets from certain sources you can do faster, but if you're just doing it over the internet, it takes time. Salami attacks and kiting schemes take weeks to months. So different schemes take different amounts of time. And if you're there when the crime is underway, you need to ask yourself the question, how fast do you need to act to catch them in the act? Like, how fast? And the answer has a lot to do with how fast the attack is. So catching them in the act, that's as close as you're going to get to a smoking gun. And it's not like a smoking gun, because when you sniff the end of the barrel in a smoking gun, you say it's been fired recently. And generally in digital evidence, there's nothing that you smell, right? It's all the same. It's bits that you need to analyze through programs. Time is of the essence. So this case data was collected by an ISP, and they wanted to trace back as a child pornography case across state lines. The ISP was contacted. indicated that the boss would be back on Monday. This is the same story as before, but I'm going to embellish it a little bit more. It turns out, come Monday, the ISP said that the records couldn't be had, but the site was then offline. And the question is, who notified the offender? So somebody contacted only the ISP. The ISP sort of made a delay, lost the records. Somebody, presumably at the ISP, notified the site that this was being done, and the site went offline. So now we have some evidence to go after. Now we have some people to go after. Now we have some folks to question. We have some subpoenas to write. We want to contact local law enforcement. This is a fairly typical time issue. There are more than a few cases where local police support criminal activities or are supported by criminal activities. And in these cases, unless the dollar value or the import of the case is very high, you're likely to fail. And they'll just keep popping back up. And eventually you might catch them if you want to get a federal task force involved or something, but it's not so easy to interest federal task forces, especially if you're a local law enforcement officer, and even worse if you're some consultant somewhere. Sensor examples and limits. An IP sniffer, software on a PC, we're talking 30 to 7 megabytes per second. That's about as fast as you're going to get in that environment. With that, you're going to have to go to some fancy special purpose hardware to get beyond that. That's just the limit. Telephone recording. Basically, you're looking at audio tape. There are all sorts of other devices. All this stuff is subject to wiretap laws. All of it's subject to warrants or permission of the owners, and the users must be informed in the case of permission, at least generically informed. Generally, we don't want to call the user up and say, hi, we're watching your traffic to see whether you're involved in this particular activity that's illegal right now. But we just wanted to notify you that we're watching you. Not the way you catch people, nor is it necessary. But you do need to have notice in a generic sense if you're a corporation that you're doing work or monitoring. And that notice has to be properly embedded into the mechanisms of your employment contract and so forth. Okay, so basically you start to do analysis, and one of the things you do is generate a lot more leads. In fact, one of the best things about digital evidence is it generates leads, and one of the worst things about digital evidence is it surely generates a lot of leads. So the problem with leads is that you have to track them down, but the benefit of leads is you have something to look for. So you generate a lot of leads, then you need to start eliminating suspects. So a lot of times the evidence eliminates suspects, and this is the old process of elimination, right? That Sherlock Holmes says, right? When we've eliminated the obvious, you know, then we need to look at the inobvious. Whatever is left is what happens. You also then introduce new suspects. In fact, a lot of these criminal activities rotate from one person to another, or from one identity to another, and then cross-associating identities to individuals becomes an issue. This process of analysis leads to new collection. That means you've got to place new sensors, you have new systems to image, new places to look, and of course that's a feedback loop. As you do the analysis of that stuff, you find more places to look. Some of these things expand out rather widely, involving hundreds or thousands of people in a loose coalition. Some of them are much more confined. Some of them have a lot of identities, but very few individuals. For example, Yahoo information, and I pick on Yahoo because that's a very popular place these days, and it's a good example. So you can gather the information en masse. We sort of discussed that earlier, and you can write a program to do that, or you should have by now if you're taking the lab side, of course. Resulting profiles indicate where to place your sniffers. The sniffers, when we placed sniffers, they indicated that there was no direct access to Yahoo. So where our sniffers were weren't collecting the data. So what happened was another bulletin board system was started up. Out of the Yahoo posting, somebody said, hey, let's start another group for employees only. Out on the internet, but for employees only, right? That's clever. Publicly available, so it's a good place to air your laundry. So that was started up, and when we looked at the new bulletin board system, it was not as well protected as Yahoo. That is, information on user profiles was available through some clever examination of the details of the web pages. At which point, we trace people back a step further in the process to how the identity they were then using to post to for anonymity for other services. Then sniff those services and watch the activity to those services where they were going for anonymity, downloaded posting from those services and analyzed, correlated the postings on the other services with Yahoo, and that produced better profiles, produced new leads, and led to more investigations. And as you pursue this around and around and around, even if you don't have warrants, even if you don't have access to all these things, you start to track people down. People make mistakes. People do something when they're at the wrong place. People need to do something at a particular time. There are ways to induce people to do things at a particular time by creating various kinds of forces on what they do. This is all part of the investigative process. You need to be careful not to get into a situation where you're enticing people to do things illegal. Sometimes you get some pretty darn good evidence. It tends to require correlation and confirmation. And so the notion of a smoking gun is not so simple in a digital environment. It's fairly rare, but it does happen. Like an example, I placed a sniffer in a firewall to detect illegal postings. It picked up user IDs, passwords, and postings at a date and time. We correlated the date and time on that system to the posted material, and it was correlated down to the second. Right? One of the nice things about the internet is you get time correlation that can be fairly tight. So within a second or two, we knew that there was a login by a user ID and a password from an IP address that we could trace back, and that was the same date and time that somebody had posted information, and it had the same content as the posting. It turns out that in this particular case, they were using a proxy authentication that led to the in-house user ID. So by using the proxy authentication information, we were able to decrypt the authentication being sent to the proxy, got the in-house user ID. Then once we had the user ID, we knew which computer that user was supposed to be on. Now it turns out they used cookies. The web has this cookie notion for storing temporary information on your system about the server that you're accessing. So that system had cookies, and the cookies are transmitted back and forth with the, in this case, the ISP. So we searched the in-house system for the cookies from the posting. We found the cookies associated with the postings, which were unique to the user and the computer that was in direct communication making these postings. So that was pretty good tie-down. And then, of course, you demonstrate that person has the boot-up password for that computer and that their fingerprints are on the keyboard, and you're pretty much nailed down. That's the person that did that posting to that form at that time on that date. And you've got so much evidence of it, and it's so correlated, that trying to break that evidence up is essentially infeasible. There's just no hope of it. Then, of course, you get all this data, you need to analyze it. So putting together this puzzle, it means generating and following leads, identifying suspects, this process of elimination, understanding data formats, derived evidence. There's both inculpatory and exculpatory evidence and information. You need to eventually look at reconstruction of the crime, collating to collected data, collecting more data, and so forth. So this is probably a good place to take a break, and we'll continue the next class at this point.